The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Najagble Ago.
In the headlines, today is 104th birthday anniversary of first President of Ghana, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. President Mahama challenges state institutions to live up to expectations when put to the test. Junior doctors at Tamale Teaching Hospital call off strike. Ministry of Health announces plans to decentralize teaching hospitals. Imani Ghana kicks against suggested level of increase in utility tariffs. And President Kenyatta boycotts 68th UN General Assembly. But first, the summary with Najagble Ago.
Today marks the 104th birthday of Ghana's first president, Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, who died in 1972. The day is observed as Founders' Day and a statutory holiday. President John Mahama has charged state institutions to live up to expectation in their fields of jurisdiction when put to the test. He said a 2012 presidential election petition was a test for the judiciary, which they passed. President Mahama made the remark when members and Council of Elders of Old Commonwealth Hall students of the University of Ghana called on him at the Flagstaff House in Accra to congratulate him. Junior doctors at the Tamale Teaching Hospital have called off their strike after reaching an agreement with the management of the hospital. The over 100 junior doctors embarked on the strike to demand the payment of 15 months outstanding fuel allowance. Imani Ghana has kicked against the proposed increment in utility tariffs by the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission. Its executive director, Franklin Kujo, told Radio Ghana that although he agrees that consumers ought to pay realistic prices for utility, it is unacceptable that the prices should go up by more than 100%. And Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta has boycotted the 68th UN General Assembly meeting, which comes off in New York next week. His decision follows his deputy's trial at the Hague-based International Criminal Court. This will be Kenya's first absence at the Assembly since its independence in 1963.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
The news now in detail. Today marks the 104th birthday of Ghana's first president, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. Even though Dr. Nkrumah died in 1972, his memory still lingers on the minds of many Ghanaians and Africans. His birthday, the 21st of September, is observed as Founders' Day and a statutory holiday. We bring you a write-up by Rita and Pabin Tete on the day.
Born in Nglofo on September 21, 1909, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah and other founding fathers went through a national struggle to gain independence for their mother country, Ghana. Being a student leader from the U.S. through to Great Britain, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah returned to Ghana, where his political ambitions led him to becoming the first president of Ghana.
We love to hear you, Kwame Nkrumah. We love to see you, Kwame Nkrumah.
We meet here today, not as Ghanaians, Guineans, Egyptians, Algerians, Moroccans, Malians, Liberians, Congolese, or Nigerians, but as Africans. Africans united in our resolve to remain here until we have agreed on the basic principles of a new compact of unity among ourselves, which guarantees for us and our future a new arrangement for continental government.
In 1966, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, after undertaking several national developmental projects, was overthrown and thus ending his political career. Many are those who have hailed Dr. Kwame Nkrumah as a hero and a star of Africa, but the death of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah brought questions on the minds of many. The question is whether his ideals are still relevant. Dr. Vladimir Lentridanso, an Nkrumahist and a lecturer at the Lagos Center for International Affairs and Diplomacy, is of the view that the anniversary of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah should not be seen as a political gain for proponents of the day. It should rather be an occasion to ignite the ideals of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. He believes Nkrumah's ideals are still relevant.
Very much relevant, a lot of them. For example, Nkrumah's self-reliant policy, Nkrumah's import substitution policy. We are growing tomatoes all around. The Kualugu tomato factory is lying down. Akumadan is lying down. Government is not enticing the private sector to take it up. And what is this? We could be producing. Look, I'm told that more than 375 million worth of king tomatoes were imported into this country last year. The second ideal of Nkrumah, which is even more important, is the love for this nation. Patriotism. Everything is law. And I tell you, no government will succeed where we are seeing this kind of indiscipline, where we are seeing this kind of no love for the country. And it is lust and greed and grabbing. Nkrumah brought unto us patriotism, working for Ghana, not working from Ghana. Nkrumah loved Ghana and Ghanaian. And if we chose his birthday as Founders Day, then it is founders, all those who helped in founding Ghana.
Late President Mills, during his term in office, declared the birthday of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah a statutory holiday. This has been observed as such since his centenary anniversary in 2009. On this day, it is expected that political leaders, citizens, and African countries at large reflect on the ideals of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. And for the citizens of Ghana, maybe it is about time they supported government to attain his vision and preserve the country's heritage. Rita Ampavin Tete, reporting for Radio Ghana.
We love to hear you, Bamin Krumasho boy. We love to see you, Bamin Krumasho boy.
The son of Ghana's first president, Dr. Sekou Nkrumah, says the ideas and philosophy of his father for Africa and Ghana in particular are still relevant to addressing the challenges facing the continent. Speaking to Radio Ghana on the relevance of his father's birthday, Sekou said what today's leaders on the continent need to do is to reposition the ideas of Dr. Nkrumah to meet current societal demands.
Nkrumah is always remembered in the political sphere because of his contribution. That legacy is there for all to see who benefit from. I think his vision to unite the continent also was a vision that Nkrumah had that was not accomplished in his lifetime. It's something that Africans continue to struggle with, the concept we're not able really to put it together and understand it the way Nkrumah understood it, that our economic integration coming together would benefit us. Therefore, our resources will be developed to the benefit of our people, Africans, not to the benefit outside the continent. And that's where he then talked about neocolonialism and the effects of it on the continent. I think Nkrumah, in a sense, his ideas are relevant. I think he belonged to slightly different eras, so leaders often have to understand, as he understood, his time and how to position Ghana or Africa in the global context. I think, to answer your question, Nkrumah's ideas are relevant, but you have to update them. You know, when you look at the books and literature he left behind, I mean, many of the times when he affects neocolonialism, he gives concrete examples of economic interests of the West or external forces in Africa. You would agree with me that now, 40, 50 years down the line, these economic interests have, of course, changed, I mean, or been added on and so on. He gave examples of where they were, what they are, and so on. I think contemporary Nkrumahs are people who should then try to build on the foundation that he left behind and try to point and guide people to the things he talks about.
The head son of Ghana's first president, Dr. Sekou Nkrumah.
The public is reminded that today, 21st September, which marks Dr. Kwame Nkrumah's birthday, is a statutory public holiday. A statement issued in Accra and signed by the Minister for the Interior, Kwesi Ahoy, said in view of the fact that the day falls on a Saturday, the President has by executive instrument declared Monday, 23rd September, as a public holiday and it should be observed as such throughout the country.
President John Dramani Mahama has challenged state institutions to live up to expectation when put to the test. This is because they have come of age and must therefore assert their authority without fear or favor, according to the statutes that set them up, especially during the country's democratic dispensation. President Mahama threw the challenge when members and Council of Elders of Old Commonwealth Hall Students of the University of Ghana called to congratulate and offer him support and cooperation at the Flagstaff House in Accra. He said the 2012 presidential election petition was a novel and a test for the judiciary, which the Supreme Court successfully surmounted. Seth Eyah has filed this report.
President Mahama and Old Randall said the need for stronger state institutions is relevant now in the country's democratic journey more than ever before. He said democracy thrives when institutions are well-resourced and provided with the necessary support to work.
You can only tell how strong your institutions have grown when they are tested. And I think that this election petition was one of such tests for our judiciary. And I must say that they came out, you know, with flying colors, and it encourages me that our institutions have developed the strength to be able to support our democratic journey going forward. I believe that after this court case, we should all put it behind us and rally together as a nation to make our nation great and strong and provide a decent and dignified life for our people. I believe that we can only do this if we work together. And so the rift and arguments about the judgment are a thing that are in the past. We can only take lessons from what has happened and use it to make things better and ensure that we don't go through such a situation again in the future.
President Mahama pledged to uphold the truth at all times. He was upbeat about the prospects of the country.
I'm prepared to work to unite this nation. I'm prepared to work to give selfless service to this nation. I'm prepared to give the leadership that will motivate this nation to put its shoulder to the wheel and develop it into what we all want it to be. Ghana has very bright prospects and carries a lot of respect in the international community for the strength of our democracy and respect for human rights, and also has very bright prospects in terms of our economic development. And I believe that if all of us rally around and work together, we can achieve that aim of moving our country firmly into middle-income sectors in a very few years rather than in decades.
The chairman of the Council of Elders of Old Randalls Association and Omahene of New Drabin Traditional Area, Dasibre Professor Emeritus Otibuhateng, advised President Mahama to adopt the best in the time-tested traditional governance system, which embraces inclusiveness, values of truth and honesty, resists injustices of any form, and makes every citizen each other's keeper.
Filed that report.
President Mahama will this morning join the chiefs and people of Asogli in Ho to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the enthronement of Togbi Afade as Abubu Mafia. The day also climaxed the Yam Festival of the traditional area. Information reaching Radio Ghana confirms that the president of Togo, Foreign Asimbi, will be attending the program as a special guest.
Junior doctors at the Tamale Teaching Hospital have decided to resume work after embarking on a 3-day strike. Spokesperson for the junior doctors, Dr. Willy Bento, told Radio Ghana that they have reached an agreement with the management of the hospital on an amicable settlement. The junior doctors, numbering over 100, embarked upon the strike to demand the payment of 15 months outstanding fuel allowance.
The Ministry of Health has announced plans to decentralize the 3 teaching hospitals in the country. This is to help train more doctors, thereby improving the doctor-patient ratio, especially in the rural areas. The sector minister, Sherry Aiti, announced this at the 3rd induction and swearing-in ceremony of allied health interns in Accra. The minister used the occasion to appeal to health workers to engage government in dialogue over their grievances rather than resorting to strikes. We bring a report by Victoria Ahaji.
According to the health minister, government is always prepared to dialogue and expect same from all sectors of the working population. She noted that allied health professionals continue to play very important roles in healthcare delivery, and whether Ghana can succeed in achieving the NDGs on health by 2015 depends on the collective efforts of all health professionals, especially allied health professions. Madam Aite outlined some plans that it will be undertaken to ensure quality health delivery.
Hospitals are also going to decentralize their teaching programs. Some of the district hospitals will be upgraded into teaching centers. We are trying to establish what we call community health centers in the rural areas. It means that we have to train more community nurses so that they will be in the deprived areas to attend to our women and children. What the ministry intends to do is also to zone Ghana so that we have special zones. Then we will allocate a team of community nurses to each zone. We are embarking on the training of more midwives because very soon we will have 50% of our midwives who will be on retirement.
A retired professor of anatomy at the College of Health Sciences of the University of Ghana, Reverend Professor Seth Aiti, said Ghana has a long way to go in achieving the MDG on maternal and infant mortality. He expressed the need for more specialists to be trained.
Ghana has a long way to go to improve maternal health, and the role of allied health sciences as part of the medical team in achieving acceptable levels cannot be overlooked. We must endeavor to develop capable and well-qualified teaching staff for the University of Allied Health Sciences and for other established schools of Allied Health Sciences. We should also emphasize academic and clinical research in all disciplines in Allied Health Sciences.
The Registrar of the Allied Professions Council, Dr. Samuel Yao Opuku, commended government for the passage of the Health Professions Regulatory Bodies Law, but called for the appropriate legislative instrument to operationalize the law. He also appealed to government to provide strong and efficient administrative structures for the council. In all, 287 graduates of various professional programs were inducted. They include radiographers, physiotherapists, dietitians, and audiologists.
A report by Victoria Ahaji. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Today is the 104th birthday anniversary of first president of Ghana, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. President Mahama challenges state institutions to live up to expectations when put to the test. Junior doctors at Tamale Teaching Hospital call off strike. Ministry of Health announces plans to decentralize teaching hospitals. Imani Ghana kicks against a suggested level of increase in utility tariffs, and President Kenyatta boycotts 68th UN General Assembly. We are back shortly.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
Welcome back. The executive director of Imani Ghana, Franklin Kuju, has kicked against the suggested 150% one-off increment in utility tariffs. The Public Utility Regulatory Commission earlier yesterday gave indications that electricity tariffs may go up by 150%. But speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Kuju said, while he agrees that consumers ought to pay realistic prices for utility, it is unacceptable that the prices should go up by more than 100% at a go. He suggests that the PURC rather graduates the increment. He also called for efforts to retrieve all monies owed by government and its agencies. Mr. Kuju spoke to Bubu Klinogo.
The 150% raise that the PURC is proposing is as a result of a backlog of increases that should have taken effect long ago but couldn't take effect until now. And the reasons for which they couldn't take effect was because there was a political backstopper, which essentially was that, oh, let's not pass on the cost, let's wait. And I think these things are not very helpful. 150% increment is not easy. It's not a joke. And I suspect that this is not the way to go. I still think the PURC probably wants to graduate this process. Much as I'll say it's partly they are doing, they should graduate the process so that we pay it in arrears. By the way, they should also begin to collect all the monies that the governments owe. I mean governments, successive governments owe. I don't understand why the PUSC cannot suggest that all governments, ministries, departments, and agencies should start using prepaid meters. I think it is a wonderful idea. They should start buying prepaid electricity. I feel that we should all share in the responsibility.
In other words, you agree with the PUSC that there's a need to pay realistic prices, only that you are not satisfied that they have to sort of compound all of them up to this time and then have to push 150% down the throat of consumers.
But that's the point. I agree with them in principle that we have to pay for realistic usage of power. For that, I agree. What I don't agree with is to lump it all together, because this is like postponing your funeral. You can't keep a corpse for that long in the morgue. You've got to somehow dispose it. I'm sorry. This time, they have to dispose the body in parts. So head first, leg second. So they should do the same thing for this money. They can't just lump all of it on us. And next time, they should stand their grounds and collect their money.
From realistic point of view, what percentage could be affordable for consumers if they have to graduate it in terms of percentage-wise? What should we be looking at?
The fact of the matter is that these are very perilous and difficult times for everyone, including government. So the last thing the PRC wants to do is to shift its own omission and onto us. I think we should graduate this.
You heard the executive director of Imani Ghana, Franklin Pidu, talking to Bubu Kilinogo.
We do gonna sort the views of a cross-section of the public.
I think the government should do something about it, like, because nowadays the economy is quite hard. So he do something about it for us, because we can't just increase water and electricity bills and it's just an impromptu. We just came in impromptu. So he should do something about it, because the economy is very hard.
Well, I don't think anybody's really going to be happy about it, but then there's nothing we can do about it. All we have to do is maybe we'll just voice out a bit and see if the government can really do something on our behalf for it.
Maybe it will help the nation's cause. Yeah. I don't mind.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all, of course. To help us build our nation.
Yeah, why not? I like the idea, because maybe to help the government. So I like encourage us to work hard, you know. Those who can afford. But those who can afford to work hard, I don't think it's the best, because look at the situation right now and look at the country is being run. Looking at our economy, increasing water bills, electricity bills to 150%, I don't think it's the best. I think the government should look into it again. That's what I can.
Well, in the current situation that we find ourselves in this country, nobody is going to say it is good. Okay? Because economically, we have serious crisis that every individual is feeling. Even children are feeling it. So increasing utility bills is just going to say that Ghanaians get ready and then let's go to the slaughterhouse. I'm speaking as somebody who pays bills, and it's not easy.
Those were views of cross-section of the public on the increment of utility tariffs.
About 250 houses have been earmarked for demolition in Wa to make way for expansion works on the Wa airstrip. Our Upper West Regional correspondent Swallow Abdul Wahab reports that encroachment on the Ghana Civil Aviation Authority land has been massive. He said the Metropolitan Authorities had given notice more than 5 years ago about the intended demolition, but nothing has been done until now. He spoke to Abraham Donko on Behind the News.
If you look at the houses around the airstrip, they are so close to the airstrip that the space that is left with is just enough for vehicles to pass between the barbed wire of the airstrip and then the house. But according to Ghana Civil Aviation Authority, the situation should not be true. The houses should be far away from the airstrip in order to ensure that there is no unwarranted accident when there is a serious hit at the airstrip there. And just about last month or so, a lands commission said it wanted to enforce the law, because the houses that are built around the airstrip there are not supposed to be there. But then the owners of these houses came out in their numbers and protested vehemently against the decision. The questions we should be asking is, when people started putting up these houses, do we have these agencies that are supposed to regulate the development of the town in one municipality? We have the town and country planning. We have the lands commission. We have the municipal assembly. All these departments and agencies have been around when these people started putting up these houses around the airstrip. Yet they were not stopped. Even if they were and they refused, was there any action taken against them? So this is the problem at hand concerning the encroachment on the land of the Ghana Civil Aviation Authority. The other worrying aspect of the situation is that now people have started putting up their houses on waterlogged areas and even on waterways. In the municipality, houses are trending up on waterways. Houses have been put up in waterlogged areas. And the authorities that are supposed to regulate this development are there, yet nothing is still being done.
The Upper West Regional Minister, Dr. Ephraim Avia-Inso, said no compensation will be paid to those whose houses will be demolished. This is because government is the legitimate owner of the land.
I've been told that some of them even go to the night to try and build. The intention is that, as they build them higher and they make them become more complex, then they are likely to get bigger compensation as they hear that they are likely to get them out of the place. So they have been there for quite some time now. I don't know when exactly anyway.
Is government going to compensate landlords for the demolition of these houses around the airstrip?
Well, we just talk about illegality. If we got a record and it stays on our records and is that we own the land and it's government land, it's ICC property, we have no reason to pay compensation to individuals. There are various stories about who owns what and who is the owner of what and who bought what. We have stories, but as far as we are aware, we have the documents and their government land. And all those who are situated there are illegal tenants.
You have the Upper West Regional Minister, Dr. Ephraim Avia-Inso, talking to Abraham Donko on Behind the News. Meanwhile, some of the affected residents are expected to address a news conference today.
In foreign news, Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta says he will not travel to New York next week to attend the UN General Assembly while his deputy is on trial at the Hague-based International Criminal Court, ICC. It will be Kenya's first absence of the assembly since its independence in 1963.
At least 40 children have been killed in a fresh outbreak of measles across the 23 local government areas in northwest Nigeria's Kaduna state. This year alone, the Nigerian state recorded at least 1,000 cases of the disease, resulting in the high number of deaths.
Now to the news, the main points again. Today marks the 104th birthday of Ghana's first president, Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, who died in 1972. The day is observed as Founders Day and a statutory public holiday. And the junior doctors at the Tamale Teaching Hospital have called off their strike after reaching an agreement to the management of the hospital. Over 100 junior doctors embarked on the strike to demand the payment of 15 months outstanding fuel allowance. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Najak Bliago in Accra.